Alrighty, so if anyone knows me, if anyone has spent even just like a small bit of time with me, people know that I am a very forgetful person. I can forget things from the smallest things to the biggest things. And actually, one of the things that my husband actually, it drives him crazy. I forget more often than not to turn off my flat iron in the morning after I'm done getting ready. And I will get this gracious text from my husband saying, "You forgot to turn off the flat iron when you left, dot, dot, dot." And I know those dots mean sheer disappointment. But he also forgets where the hamper is all the time. So I think we're about even on that. And, you know, another thing actually that just happened this morning, someone asked me to bring something from the house, and I grabbed it when I received the text, being like, okay, I can't forget it. And I drive in and they call me and I'm like, oh my goodness, I forgot what you asked me to bring. So I am very forgetful. And, you know, I must humbly admit to you guys that when it comes to spiritual things, I too can be very forgetful. And one thing that I sometimes forget is to thank God, to truly and sincerely thank Him for what He has done for me and what He continues to do. And you know, I don't feel like I do it intentionally, but I do know I could do it more, or I can do much better at thanking Him. It's easy to say, oh, thank you, Lord, for this food, and then scarf down my meal, but truly thanking the Lord for what He has done. And so because of that, and with Thanksgiving being right around the corner, I like to share a message with you about being thankful, specifically remembering to be thankful, not just during this season where it's on the forefront of our minds, but being thankful always. So, will you ladies turn and join with me in opening your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. As you're turning there, I want to give a little bit of background where we are, since we're diving headfirst into chapter 17 of this gospel. At this point in Luke's gospel, Jesus is making his final journey to Jerusalem. There he will soon be facing the Jewish leaders, along with Pilate, and ultimately be crucified, giving his life, of course, for the sins of the world. But before that happens, Luke records some parables, some discourses, and healings and miracles of Jesus, one of which we're going to be looking at today. It is the healing of the 10 lepers. So what I'd like to do is read the entire passage with you guys and break it down and just see what God has in store for us. So let's begin in verse 11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, this passage isn't long, it's not a long story at all, but there's so much in it, and I wish we had the time to be able to really dive into every single detail, but unfortunately, time doesn't allow it. So what I want to do is give us a brief outline, almost breaking up the story into 3 scenes, if you will. The first is going to be the sick, the second, the Savior, and lastly, the Samaritan. Let's look at our first scene entitled The Sick, starting again in verse 11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." As Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he runs into 10 men who were very sick. And the sickness that they had, the disease that they had, was known as leprosy, better known today as Hansen's disease, which nowadays, if you know anything about this disease, it's curable with certain treatments now. But back in Jesus' time, there was no cure. It was actually a quite hopeless disease to have. This infectious disease is caused by a certain bacteria that affects the skin and nervous system. From the skin, the disease eats inwards to the bones, rotting the entire body. That's super graphic. And this is why so many times people would lose limbs or lose noses or different body parts and look horribly disfigured. It was truly a horrifying disease to have. And on top of that physical pain, they also had to deal with the social pain that came with it. You see, lepers were ostracized. They were labeled as outcasts, and they had to be cast out of their homes, and they weren't allowed to be with their loved ones anymore, and had to be placed in these specific camps that only they could live in. And if they had to go into town for any reason, and they approached it, they had to scream out and yell out and say, "Unclean, unclean," so that way everyone around can hear them, and so that the crowd could part and social distance from them. Now, I know you ladies are very familiar with that term. Just a few years ago, we had to social distance from each other, and I remember, you know, if you guys went to the grocery store at all, which I'm sure you guys all did, feeling just that, like, almost sense of being so alone. If you talked to anyone or got too close with anyone, people were like, "Oh my goodness, like, why are you getting so close," right? Now magnify that times 10. That's what these men were dealing with. It was a truly hopeless situation for them. But then they saw Jesus. And the 10 men asked for the only thing that they can. They ask for mercy. So let's see what Jesus does in scene 2, the Savior, starting in verse 14. "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." One simple verse. Yet I think it truly encapsulates the heart of our Savior. It reminds me of the story of the feeding of the 5,000, where all these people, there was a whole group of people that were hungry. And what did the disciples say? They said, "Jesus, send these people away so they could get food." But if you remember what it said about Jesus, it said he had compassion on them. And you know, so many people confuse our Savior to be harsh, to be cruel, and only seeking judgment. And I'll tell you, ladies, that when you read the Bible, no doubt there is judgment. God takes sin very seriously and does not approve of it at all. But when I read, all I ever see intertwined into every story is God's mercy and grace. You know, we're covering in this season the book of 1 Samuel, and if you look closely at the lives of all the people that we've studied so far, Hannah, Samuel, Saul, next semester we'll get to dive into the book of, or into the life of David, and through all of that you see God's mercy and grace intertwined in every single one of their lives. Why is that? It's because that's the heart of our God. And I believe we see that clearly here in verse 14. Jesus didn't need to heal these men. He wasn't obligated to. It's not like these men deserved it or anything. Yet without hesitation, he healed them. And in a moment, we're going to see that he saved one of them. Jesus did not need to do any of that, just like he did not need to save us from our sins, but he did. He didn't need to cure us, but he did. He doesn't need to bless us, but he does, over and over again. Now, I would say that thankfulness and gratitude should be the response of these men, right? So let's see how the story unfolds next. Let's look at our last section, the Samaritan, in verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, for your faith has made you well." 10 men healed, yet only one, a Samaritan, was the only one that returned to give glory and thanks to God. Daryl Bach, who is a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, wrote an amazing and quite lengthy commentary on the Gospel of Luke. And in regards to this passage, he notes and he says that the title of this passage should rightly be called The Thankful Samaritan. And I couldn't agree more. That out of these 10 men, only the thankful Samaritan remembered to return and give thanks. Now, ladies, I know you're probably not nearly as forgetful as I am, but I think we could all agree, if we were to go around, we could all do better in this area of gratitude. And so, if you'll allow me, I'd like to suggest 3 things to think about. 3 things that I believe that if we actually do them, these 3 things will help us remember to give thanks to our God. The first is to think about where you were. Before Jesus, much like the Samaritan, we were sick. We had a disease that was very deadly, that was incurable on our own. But we didn't have leprosy. We had a disease known as sin. And we, like the Samaritan, were hopeless and lost without Jesus. And when you think about it, I don't know how you can't be overwhelmed with gratitude, with knowing where you were and knowing how God saved us and saved you from that life of sin. The second thing I want us to think about is to think about what God has done for you. For the leper, he was given new life. And not only in this life was he able to be restored with his family and join a community again and, you know, enjoy normal life again, but in verse 19, it alludes to the fact that Jesus gave him new life in the spiritual sense. He was saved. Has God not done the same for us? He saved you, he set his love upon you, and he's given you new life. And on top of that blessing, God has also given us so much more. Now, the sacrifice that he's given us on the cross is more than enough to be thankful for, more than enough to sing his praise and say thank you each and every day of our lives from now into eternity. But he has also given us family, friends, a church family that we're able to come and fellowship with. And I'm sure the lists could go on and on. So ladies, let's think about what God has done for us. Third and lastly, I want you to think about why God did it. Again, Jesus did not have to heal the leper. So why then? Well, all because of his mercy and grace. That's why. God has shown us mercy and grace time and time again, and I'm sure if we were to go around a room this size that we could be here for hours, if not years, just recounting story upon story about his grace and mercy on us. And if I may, I would like to share with you an example of God's grace and mercy in my life that I will forever be grateful for. I knew I was gonna cry right now, so give me a moment. Oh man. I could blame it on hormones, right? You know, this is something that my husband and I have prayed for many years, and something that we talked about even when we were dating, that we wanted to start a family. And ever since we got married, we were praying, okay, Lord, when will you have us, you know, start a family? And we always felt, okay, not now, not yet, not yet. And at the beginning of this year, we kind of felt that, you know, God was saying, okay, it's time to start trying. And a few months later, we have this amazing little blessing that we get to share with everyone. And I know we don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to be here right now. But he chooses to bless us, ladies. So if you'll turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 30, I'd like to close by reading you something that King David said. We'll be in Psalm 30, verse 11. Because when you think about all that God has done, ladies, when you think about what God has done for you, how he saved you, set his love upon you, and how he's blessed you, there's only one response that you could truly have. And we could see it here, starting in verse 11. And I'm going to read it to you guys in the NLT. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothed mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing your praises and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. David said, I will give you thanks forever. May God help us to remember to do the same thing. Would you ladies pray with me?